विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ मे वी हियर only auspicious sounds with our ears, with our eyes may we see auspicious sights, the presence of the divine everywhere, with all our sense organs may we perceive the auspicious presence of the Lord everywhere, and with all our sense organs may we do only good deeds. In this way, with a strong body, with a pure mind and strong limbs, may we spend the rest of this life granted to us by Ishvara in such a way that we adore him through all our actions. May the blessings of the Lord in all his forms be upon us all always. Om peace. May there be peace within us all. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings. And may there be peace everywhere in nature. Namaskar to all of you. I'm very happy to be here this morning in your midst to spend some time thinking about Vedantic topic, the one that we have been studying for the last 3 days is the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And this is the last session, and I hope to conclude our brief study of this chapter called Dhyana Yoga. As is customary on such occasions, all such study usually starts in our tradition with some devotional singing and some prayer. The very wonderful devotional singing we had and the prayer from the Upanishads, praying for peace on all the three fronts of our life: peace within us all, adhyatmika shanti, peace and harmony amongst all beings with whom we share this life, including animals and plants, adi bhautika shanti, and peace in nature, so that we do not suffer from disturbances in nature, such as earthquakes, hurricanes, volcanic eruptions, lightning, floods, and other natural calamities. This music and this prayer set the stage and create the proper ambience to do our study and try to understand the teachings of the Lord to the extent we are capable of understanding. There is no end to this knowledge, really. This is Paravidya, supreme knowledge of the self that we study in our spiritual, in our scriptures, the Prasthana Trayam, the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita mainly. And each of us understands it to some extent depending upon our capacity. Sri Ramakrishna explained this variation in our understanding in this way. Imagine that there is a huge ocean, infinite quantity of water is there, and all of us go there to the ocean to bring some water. How much water can we bring back with us? It depends upon how much we can carry. If I take only 1 6-ounce glass with me, I can only bring 1 6-ounce glass full of water. If I take 1 gallon jar, I can bring 1 gallon of water. Somebody who is stronger can carry a 10-gallon capacity tank, and he can take away 10 gallons of water, and so on. That depends on our capacity to understand this vast ocean of knowledge. So we try in a very humble way to understand as much as we can. And as Sri Krishna himself has said in the Bhagavad Gita, even a little bit of this, if you understand and practice with diligence and devotion, that will also produce great results. So with that attitude, we do this study. The last 2 days, since Thursday, we have been studying the shlokas in the 6th chapter. The 6th chapter is Dhyana Yoga, dealing with meditation. And when we begin reading that 6th chapter, what we see there in the first few shlokas is all discussion of karma, how to do karma. So we find that karma and other topics come there before actually the topic of meditation comes up for study. If someone thinks that, I don't like all this karma yoga, etc., I just simply want to do meditation, and starts reading the 6th chapter, what he finds is, Sri Krishna says, anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya. So, how to do karma, he says, not depending upon the fruits of action, not with attachment to karma and its action, we have to do karma like this, he goes on discussing. He talks about Yoga Rudha, one who has ascended to the attitude of yoga, who has mastered. Here yoga means karma yoga. In earlier chapter, 2nd chapter, he had defined yoga in this way. In the 48th verse, 2nd chapter, Sri Krishna had said, yogastha kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. There he gave 2 criteria. On how to do our work. In subsequent places in the Gita, many places, he has given additional instructions. So we have to remember those things. Where he had said 2 things. Sangam tyaktva, when we do any action, we should become free from attachment to the action itself, which is very easy to do, to become attached. And we should remain equanimous in success and failure. Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva. That is the essence of karma yoga. So in that way we should prepare our minds. Why that comes here? Because to meditate, the mind has to be prepared. Meditation is 95-98% preparation only. The actual technique is very simple. The actual technique he describes, we will study today in only one or two shlokas. That is all there is to it in terms of technique. But it is the preparation that precedes the meditation. If the mind is prepared and it is relatively calm, then meditation comes naturally. That is why all these topics have been discussed in the sixth chapter. Then he talked about self-effort, swaprayatnam, in fifth and sixth verses. Uddhare vidatmanatmanam, that verse. In this matter, each of us has to do our own effort. If somebody does meditation very nicely, we don't get the benefit. That person gets the benefit. We have to lift ourselves up with our own effort, Sri Krishna says. Then we could be our own best friend. Banduratmaatmanastaiva enatmaivatmana jitaha. If one conquers oneself, one's own mind and the sense organs which have a tendency to go outside when we sit down for meditation, if that tendency is conquered, then we will be our own best friend. And if we don't do that one, anatmanastu shatrutve varte tatmaiva shatruvat. And if we don't do that, let the mind flow in any direction it wants to roam about, and the sense organs are going in all the 10 directions, then nothing happens and we would be our own worst enemy. No one can do more damage to us than we can do to ourselves. That is the situation he is describing. Then in every life, we should train ourselves to remain as calm as possible. All those things came in the earlier chapters too, where he had said, sukha dukkhe same kritva labha labho jaya jayo, all those things. That is the way to prepare the mind for meditation. If at every small provocation, if he keep jumping up and down, and the mind does not calm down, does not settle down, then meditation is not possible. So equanimity in respect of our own experiences in life, which are bound to be different. Everybody's life is a mixture of good and bad. Sometimes more good, sometimes more bad things happen, calamities strike. So those are inevitable, and under all circumstances we should practice to remain as equanimous, balanced as possible. Then same-sightedness in regard to other beings. This world is full of various kinds of beings. The people who come into our lives in various capacities, suhrin mitra ari udasina, मध्यस्थ द्वेष बंधुषु साधुष्वपि च पापेषु समबुद्धिर्विशिष्यति. समबुद्धि इज पर्सन हु रिमेन्स इन द सेम वे विद द सेम एटीट्यूड ऑफ लव कंपैशन एंड रेस्पेक्ट टुवर्ड्स एवरीबॉडी whoever be that person. Sadhushvapi cha papeshu, good and bad, that is not our concern. What should be the basis for all our relationships with other human beings? Not only human beings, with other animals and plants and things, nature. There is only one basis, the spiritual basis. That means the same indwelling spirit pervades the whole of creation. Later in the 13th chapter, he would be saying, Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishthantam parameshwaram vinashyatsu avinashyantam yah pashyati sapashyati. That person is a true seer. We all think we are seeing, but what we are seeing is not the essence of what is there. We see the outer things and we are carried away by those things. When we see somebody, we see the outer aspects of their personality, whether rich or poor, what kind of dress they are wearing, what kind of car they are driving, what kind of work they do, what language they speak, all these things what attract our attention. And the essential part of these people or other beings remains hidden. We don't see that. But a true seer is one who disregards this outer shell, misleading shell of appearance, and sees the essential part, namely the self inside. That is the basis for practicing same-sightedness towards all beings. This we can see in the lives of all great saints. We saw this with some examples. Then Sri Krishna talks about moderation in food, in sleep, in relaxation, not too much food, not too little food, like that. Moderation is necessary. And the state of deep meditation of one who is accomplished in meditation, where the mind remains absolutely still, focused on one topic, like a stream of oil that is poured from one container to another container, it just goes a constant stream with no break. Here the example given is like a flame that does not flicker in the absence of wind. Yatha dipo nivatastho nengate sopama smrta. That is the state of perfect meditation when there is no repose in the mind at all. Perfect absorption in the object of meditation, namely the self. Then he talked about the benefits of meditation. In deep meditation, the mind becomes absorbed in this supreme spirit, and one experiences supreme joy that can only be intuited, but is beyond the senses. Buddhi grahyam atindriyam sukham atyantikam. Indescribable bliss comes. Earlier we saw the difference between the sukha that we ordinarily experience in worldly experiences through sense objects and relationships and accomplishments, position, power, fame, etc. One kind of happiness, which are beset with severe limitations, that we studied in the 5th chapter. As opposed to that, this Atmananda, to which meditation will eventually lead us, that is Ananda, Atmananda, that is indescribable bliss, infinite, eternal fountain of bliss is within us all. And actually, all the happiness that we experience coming from other things, other beings, other experiences, possessions, etc., that happiness is not coming from where they appear to be coming from. that happiness is coming from only one source, that is Self inside. And this joy of the Self, this Ananda, this Satchidananda that is within us all, that joy is simply reflected, and what we get through the sense organs is a very dim and distorted reflection of the joy that is already, has always been here, intrinsically ours. So meditation bypasses these undependable reflecting surfaces and takes us straight to the source of all joy, that is the Self inside. That is the goal, end of meditation. So that we saw. Now we start with the 24th verse today in this 6th chapter. Another very essential requirement for meditation is that one should control the desires that constantly arise in the mind as much as possible. If the waves of desire are rising and falling, raging furiously inside our minds, then there is no peace. Real peace is real absence of all desires. In the Upanishads, there is a very nice term that comes in many, many places, describing the state of total desirelessness, total balance and peace and joy. And that is described as, the one who has that is known as akamahataha. Shrotriyasya cha akamahatasya. That expression comes many times in the Taittiriya Upanishad. Akamahataha is a person who is not afflicted by desires. Desires are seen as affliction. The very fact that a desire arises in our mind, any kind of desire, including good desire, the very fact that some desire arises in our mind signifies a big departure from our ideal state. Our ideal state is to be at one with the Self inside, which is paripurna, complete, perfect, nothing is lacking, and there is nothing besides it also to desire. In that state we should be, but the moment we depart from that state and start perceiving duality, something else besides me is there, somebody else besides me is there, then that's where desire starts. If I see something besides me, I want it, it is attractive, or I don't want it, it turns me off. So raga dvesha starts when the moment we perceive duality. So the presence of any desire in our minds indicates already a departure from our pristine state of being at one with Satchidananda. So total absence of desire happens only when we achieve the highest goal. But that is little bit remote, it appears like that, from where we are right now. So what we should do is to control our desires as much as possible. In the 2nd chapter, when Arjuna asked Sri Krishna, what are the signs, lakshanas of sthita prajna, Sri Krishna says this as the very first signal, very first trait of a sthita prajna. Arjuna, Krishna asks and starts his answer to Arjuna's question about the qualities of a sthita prajna by saying, prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atmani eva atmana tushtaha sthita prajna stadochate. The very first thing that distinguishes a sthita prajna from the rest of us is that person has succeeded in conquering all the desires that arise in the mind, in the heart. सर्वान मनोगतान कामान प्रजहाति यदा तदा सहस्तित प्रज्ञः इति उच्यते. And then what happens? Where does this happiness come from? We depend for our happiness on external things. We need good food, we need good clothes, we need a very nice house to stay, we need car, we need expensive car, we need a good position, we need fame and we need family, we need this, we need that. All these things are needed for us to be happy. But Sthita Prajna does not depend on these things because he or she knows that happiness is not in these things. Where is the locus of happiness? It is in the self inside. So he finds his joy there. Atmani eva atmana tushtaha sahasthita prajnaha. So that is indicated here. Sankalpa prabhavan kaman stektva sarvan asheshataha manasaiva indriyagramam viniyamya samantataha. The group of sense organs is called indriyagrama. Grama means a collection. Grama means gaon, a town or a village where many things are, many people are there. So this is like that. All the sense organs are here. Five sense organs of perception, gyanendriyas. Five sense organs of action, karmendriyas. And in the Gita, Sri Krishna counts mind also the 11th sense organ. Indriyani dashaikam cha, says in the 13th chapter. So all the sense organs, indriyagramam samantataha, from all directions, staniyamya, controlling. They have a tendency to go out. This is a nice verse in the Kathopanishad. Yama teaches to Nachiketa, these mind and the sense organs, they have a natural tendency to go outwards, seeking contact with sense objects. So we miss the Atman inside. We are always looking outside. What's happening? Who is doing what? Who is wearing what? Who is driving what? So Atman remains unseen. Paranchikani vitrinat svayambhus tasmat parang tishtati nantaratman. Parag Pashyati, tasmat varang pashyati na antaratman. We see outside everything. Antaratman we don't see. Because our sense organs, our minds are busy looking outside all the time. So that tendency has to be controlled. Niyamya, so indriyani niyamya samantataha. Then what happens? 25th verse. Shanai shanai ruparamet buddhya dhriti grihitaya atmasamsthammana kritva nakinchidapi chintayet. Slowly, gradually, this is not going to happen suddenly in one day. Meditation is not something we can do in one day, learn to do in one day. It takes time. Sustained, gradual, steady effort is necessary, not sporadic effort. For a period of time, we begin to see, yes, we are able to do something. Shanai shanaihi uparamed. Uparamet means resting the mind in the self. Buddhya dhriti grihitaya, with the help of a resolute buddhi, intellect. Manaha atmasamstham kritva, making the mind fixed on the self inside. Otherwise it will go every other place. So we want to bring it back and make it dwell on the self all the time. That is meditation practice. Now the very important verse comes in the 26th verse. When Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi was asked about instructions for meditation by someone, it seems he pointed out two verses from the 6th chapter. One was the 5th verse, extolling self-effort. Uddhared atmanatmanam, that verse. And the second verse was the 26th verse. Yato yato nischariti manaha chanchalam asthiram tatas tato niyam naitat atmani eva vasham nayet. This is all there is to the technique of meditation. This is the sloka describing the actual technique of meditation. When we sit down for a meditation, how we should practice meditation? Rasti, it is all preparation. If the preparation has been done nicely, then this is easy, meditation becomes natural. So what is the technique involved? Very simple. There is nothing secret about it or mystic about it. Yato yato manaha nischarati. Sit down for meditation, mind goes in 10 different directions. We think about some food that we are going to eat or we have eaten this morning. We think about some dress that somebody is wearing. We think about what happened yesterday at work. Some argument we had last night with somebody in the family. Or something that happened 10 years ago somewhere or India or sometime. All those things will come. In different directions the mind will digress. Or some celebrity, show business celebrity, what they are doing. All these things will come. So as the mind strays, digresses, goes in different directions, from all those digressions, so gently we have to bring the mind back and make it dwell on the self within. Yato yato manaha nischarati, as it goes away in different directions, tatas tataha, from all those digressions, niyamya Atmani eva vasham nayit. Bringing it, controlling it, making it dwell on the self. No, don't go here and there, just stay here. I see it as the practice of meditation is like somewhat like walking a dog. You take the dog for a walk on the sidewalk. On the road there is traffic. You don't want the dog to go to the road. So many cars are moving there. And many places there is a requirement that you have to have a leash to hold the dog. You want to get the dog roam freely. You are holding the leash, fairly long leash. And you instruct the dog to go in front of you. So you start walking on the sidewalk. The dog is going in front of you. Four steps it takes in front of you. Then it sees a hydrant. It goes there. Then you gently give a tug to the dog. Don't beat it up. Don't become angry. But dog's nature is like that. Hey, please come back. Like this. Just a gentle tug. It comes back. Takes a few steps in front of you on the sidewalk. Then it goes towards a tree. Then again, you gently bring it back. It takes a few steps in front of you. Then it goes some other dog. Then it runs towards that dog and barks. Gently bring it back. Then it sees a moving car, it wants to chase. Gently bring it back. This is all exercise of meditation. Mind is like that. Goes here, bring it back. Then after a very short time, it goes in the other direction. Gently bring it back. We should not become angry or upset. This practice has to be done patiently over a period of time. That is all there is to the technique of meditation. Have a subject for meditation, your Ishta Devata. Then you fix the mind on that one. Hardly have you thought about it for a few seconds, mind goes there. Some topic. Tell the mind, no, please come back, stay here. At least next half hour you have to stay here. Afterwards you can think about those things. A few more seconds, then it goes in the other direction. Then bring it back gently. No, please come back. Dwell on this topic. This is what we have to do now. Like this. Keep on doing it. Yato yato nischariti manaha chanchalam asthiram tatastato niyam neitat atmanyeva vasham nayet. That's all there is to it. This is called abhyasa. Abhyasa means constant practice of bringing the mind back to the meditation. There are only two techniques. Later he will give in the 36th, 37th verse two instructions for meditation. We'll come to that. One of them is abhyasa. Then we have to inquire, this is what happened. This is short-term solution. Every time it goes, bring it back. But we have to do a long-term solution. Then we have to ask ourselves, why is the mind going so many in so many different directions. Why does it not sit down and dwell on the same topic I fixed for meditation? You have to inquire into the question. There must be a reason why it keeps going here and there. Then that inquiry leads us to other discoveries, and that is Vairagya. That is Vichara leading to Vairagya. That we will come to that later. Arjuna asks that question. Then we saw 27, 28, 29 yesterday, benefits of meditation. Thirty-one verses are important. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mayi pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sacha me na pranashyati. This is the essence of all spiritual practice. All spiritual practice, all the puja we do, all the chanting we do, all the hymns we chant, we go on pilgrimage, we do this, we do that, we study the scriptures, we do meditation, all those things that we do, they're all designed to accomplish one goal, and that is to constantly keep our minds connected with God, constantly practicing the presence of God. There is a very nice small book called Practice of the Presence of God. The title of the book is Practice of the Presence of God. This was not written by any of our Hindu Indian sages. There was a Christian, Carmelite Christian monk. His name was
Brother Lawrence.
Actually, his name was Nicholas Hermann. That's how he was, with that name, he was born in the year 1611. He was born in France. And very fascinating story. He went to the army when he was young. Some war was going on. In the army, he got injured. His leg was injured. So he was sent home. He came back and he didn't have a job. He was looking here and there. So many things happened. Finally, he joined a Carmelite monastery. Why he joined, very interesting event, but we don't have time to go into that. You can read about it. This is the title of the book, Practice the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. His monastic name was Brother Lawrence. Then in the monastery kitchen, he was given the work of cooking, cleaning, scrubbing the floor, washing dishes. And that's what he does. And when he was doing that, he did just what our scriptures say. Our scriptures say that when we do any work, we should be aware constantly of the presence of God. He practiced the presence of God, dedicated everything to God, as our books are saying. Adhyatma, we should keep in mind. In the third chapter, Sri Krishna said, Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashi nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvara. Those instructions, I don't think he read Bhagavad Gita, but he practiced that very thing in his daily life. Constantly practice the presence of God. Always thinking of God, doing everything for Him, thinking is present there. But he didn't write any books, or he was not a scholarly type. He wrote about 16 or so letters to other monastic members. Those letters are collected, and one professor used to go to him to talk to him from time to time. And that professor recorded some of the notes he made of the conversation. That notes and then these letters are compiled together, published with the title, Practice the Presence of God. That is what this 30th verse is. All the time we should be aware of the presence of God in everything and everyone. Always we should try to see God's presence in everything and everyone. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mayi pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. To such a person, the presence of God is never lost sight of. That is the essence of spiritual practice. And that if we do, we are in meditation also, same awareness remains and we will be thinking of God non-stop. Then that leads us to the instruction in regard to our behavior, in regard to other people, not only other people, animals and plants and inanimate objects too. How we should relate to them, how we should treat these things with gentleness and with empathy. Gentleness and empathy. I should treat everyone else and everything else, animals and plants included, in the same way as I would like to be treated. If I want to be shown respect, then first of all, I must show respect to other people. If I don't show respect to other people, I have no right to expect respect from other people. This we can see in the lives of all great people. They always treat everyone with love, compassion, respect, not putting down anybody. In the Ramayana, Sri Ramachandra has been described as Smita Purva Bhashi. Two qualities stand out, many good qualities. He was the repository of all good qualities. But two qualities are mentioned in the phrase, in the term, Smita Purva Bhashi. When Sri Ramachandra saw someone, he would always greet them, he would be the first one to greet them with a smiling face, Smita. Smera Mukha, smiling face. And he would be the first one to greet them. He would not wait, I am the king, let them say, do pranam to me, first greeting to me, then I will say, yeah, I can respond, not like that. I should be the first one to greet anyone and with a smiling face. Purva Bhashi means first he would speak. We should not stand on a pedestal, let them say something to me. If they don't say anything to me, I will also not say anything. Like that, no. I should be the... Why that should happen, there is a reason for that. Because I should constantly practice the presence of God in everyone, everything. Yomam pashiti sarvatra savaram sarvam chamai. If I do that one, then how can I not greet anyone? If I recognize the divinity in all of those. So we should treat everybody in the same way, with the same gentleness and respect that I would like to be treated with by them. That is what 32nd verse says. Here Sri Krishna says, Atmaupamyena sarvatra samam pashyati yorjuna sukham va yadi va dukham sayogi paramo mataha. In pleasure and pain alike, one should treat everybody as one would want to be treated by other people. Atmaupamyena, just like myself, you are also like myself. If something causes me pain, the same thing will cause you pain also. We should be aware of that one. Then the important question comes, 33rd verse. Arjuna asks the question. This is the key question. Arjuna uvacha, Yoyam yogastaya proktaha samyena madhusudana etasyaham na pashyami chanchalatvat sthitim sthiram. The real question is 34th verse. This is the preface. This is yoga that you have described is very difficult to follow. Because he says, Chanchalam himana krishna pramathi balavadradham tasyaham nigraham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. O Krishna, this mind is very fickle. Chanchalam pramathi balavadradham. It is obstinate and very strong. very obstinate mind, doesn't listen to us, and very strong also. Tasya nigraham aham namanya. I don't know how to control that one. It is very difficult to control, just like trying to control the wind. Vayoriva sudushkaram. What to do? How to control the mind? Key question arises. Then Sri Bhagavan Vacha, that is the very good, important answer Sri Krishna gives. Here, two important hints are given on how to control the mind. One we have already seen, abhyasa, yato yato nischariti manaha, chanchalam astiram, bringing it back again and again. That is abhyasa. In addition to that, we should inquire into the question, why does the mind go here and there so often? Why does it not stay on one topic for any length of time? That we should do. Then we will discover why it happens. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Asamshayam Mahabaho Manodur Nigraham Chalam Abhyasena Tu Kaunteyam Vairagyena Cha Grihyati Abhyasa Vairagya Abhyam Tan Nirodhaha. Patanjali says same words. Patanjali also says Tan Nirodhaha, control of mind, is accomplished by abhyasa vairagya. Sri Krishna says same thing. These are the only two techniques available to us. So abhyasa means yato yato manaha nischarati, that came in the 26th verse. As the mind goes away in different directions, gently bringing it back and making it dwell on the Atman, as often as it goes, so often you bring it back. That constitutes abhyasa. Vairagya, abhyasa in meditation. Vairagya means, why it goes? Because I have allowed the mind to go and dwell on those topics with great relish in the past many times. I have thought about food all the time. It is very pleasing to think about food. I thought about other people, talked about other people, lot of gossip, People magazine and all those TV gossip shows and everything. What is Angelina Jolie doing? Is she going to adopt one more child from South India? And this, so many things I have thought about it with great interest. I have enjoyed thinking about those things in the past. It was very interesting to think about those things. And I have allowed the mind to do that without any control for a long time. Now if I say to the mind, oh no, I want to meditate, think about God now, Atman now, it doesn't listen. It is used to going to those topics because I have given the permission before. Now all of a sudden if I tell the mind, no, I don't want to think about all those things, think about God, why will it listen? So the old habit continues for a long time. I have myself set the stage for that by my previous thoughts and actions. Now I am thinking of meditation I have to do. I don't want to think about other things. Suddenly if I say, tell the mind, no, don't go to other topics, stay here on God, no, it will not listen. It takes time. Gently, gently, shanai shanai ra paramed buddhya dhriti grihi taya. Over a period of time, gradually, we have to bring the mind back to the topic of meditation, that is practice of vairagya. Vairagya means nitya anitya vastu viveka is viveka, nitya anitya distinction, and then clinging to the nitya, sticking to the nitya, and then saying this anitya is not important, not interesting, so only minimally I will do that one, I will stick to the nitya. That distinction, consistent practice of searching for the nitya only, leaving aside anitya, that is vairagya. It's a very big topic. How to practice vairagya for different people, the methodology is different. So let us, I'm getting signal that it is getting time for me to stop. In the 37th verse, there is another important question. Arjuna asked the question, what happens to a person if it does not reach the goal after doing a lot of yoga practice, meditation practice, etc. in this life. And the answer is very encouraging. Sri Krishna says in the next four verses that no effort is wasted. Nahi kalyana krit kaschid durgatim tata gacchati. No effort is wasted. The person who does not reach the goal of liberation in this life, jivan mukti in this life, whatever spiritual practice he or she had done will be saved. And from there, from where he left off in this life, from that point onwards, spiritual practice will continue under more favorable circumstances. And we'll reach the goal. Like this, aneka janma samsiddha tato yati paramgati. Eventually we'll reach the goal. In every life we make some progress, some progress, some progress. Some people in one lifetime they make the progress. Like long distance journey, when we stop for night's rest in some place, next morning we continue from where we left off last night, not from the original starting point. So this progress is like that. That encouraging positive reply Sri Krishna gives to that question. In this line, no effort is wasted. This he had said in the second chapter, 48th verse. Neha bhikramana shosti pratyavayo navidyate swalpamupi asya dharmasya trayate mahatobhayat. Like that. So that is the, these are the main points, but a lot of finer things are there and it needs a lot more time. We cannot do it in one day like this. Every day a little bit, we spend a few minutes studying this Bhagavad Gita, meditation and other chapters, slowly, shanai shanai, as Sri Krishna said. And by the grace of God, over a period of time, we will all move forward. And if we cannot reach the goal in this life, as he had said, purva abhyasanate namah hriyate hyoshopi saha, next time, for where we leave off in this life, from that point our journey will continue. Everything is saved, everything is cumulative, nothing is wasted. With that positive note, we shall now conclude our study. And I thank you all once again for this great opportunity to be with you this morning, to study this topic with you to some extent. I'll say the closing prayer. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve badrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om, may all be happy, may all be free from diseases, may all realize what is auspicious, may no one be subject to misery. Om, peace, peace be within us all, peace and harmony be amongst all, and peace be everywhere in nature. Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Krishna Arpanamastu, Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.